Good morning to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we offer you a special welcome. This morning's 10 o'clock service is led by Ken Bartlett. Thank you, Ken. And the 11:30 service will be led by Maddie and Stuart. Pastoral news, which I believe is a little bit old, but still important. Ken Trigg is now at home. I've had two notices. One is to remind you to pick up a copy of the updated Open Garden programme, as there are now 9 gardens for you to enjoy this summer. And the booklet is at the back of the church, and Yes, there we are. Georgina's picked it up. So it's green, of course, like gardens. So you'll see it there. And Liz Bartlett would like to say something. Where are you, Liz? There you are.
Hello, some music notices. The first thing is this Thursday there's going to be a lunchtime, another of the lunchtime recitals, and this time it's going to be Sulhi playing the piano and her colleague Julia playing the violin. So it's this Thursday at 12:30. It's a free concert. Do come along and bring friends. Coming up is the K3A Orchestra concert. That's a fortnight on Wednesday, June the 24th. And this is very important. Sojin Kim, who is... Can you stand up, Sojin? Stand up. Yeah. is going to be a soloist in the Vivaldi Concerto for Strings and Two Cellos. It's going to be a really exciting performance. I do urge you to come along. So that's 11:30 in the morning on Wednesday, the 24th of June. And then looking ahead to the autumn, we're going to have a third Music Fest concert. And that's fixed now for Sunday, October the 18th at 3 o'clock. So please, everybody, think about that. Think about what you could contribute and about coming. And I'll just give you advance warning. Last time it was a Scottish flavour, if you remember. This time it's going to have a Korean flavour.
Thank you, Liz. And talking about flavours, next Sunday is our 11 o'clock service, our combined service. And after that, there will be a bring and share lunchtime together, so you're all welcome to that. And finally, today I'd like to say a thank you to David Tang for the time that he offers to make sure that the projection is working for us on a Sunday. Thank you, David. Thank you.
We open by saying together the words of number 746, God, your glory have we seen in your Son. God, your glory have we seen in your Son, full of truth, full of heavenly grace. In Christ make us live, his love shine on our face, and the nation shall see in us the triumph you have won. In the fields of this world, his good news he has sown and sent us out to reap to life. in his love like a fire. Let us shout, here am I. He was broken for us, God forsaken, and still the bread he breaks, to ourselves we must die. We join to sing, Father, we praise you, now the night is over. Just to say how nice it is to see the children here and to hear their activities. And I think we should pause for a moment to thank God for them and also for our members who take time and care to teach them. Amen. After the prayers, there's a response. When I say, for every blessing we have received, will you respond, we give you thanks and praise? So I'll try that out. For every blessing we have received, blessed are you, Holy God, Creator, Redeemer, and Life-Giver. You have spoken the world into being and filled it with wonder and beauty. For every blessing we have received, we give you thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Holy God, for people of every language and culture, and for the rich variety you give to our life here. For every blessing we have received, blessed are you, Holy God, for Jesus Christ our Saviour, truly divine and truly human, living and dying for us and going before us into heaven. For every blessing we have received, blessed are you, Holy God, for your Spirit, the fire of love burning in our hearts, bringing us to faith and calling us to holiness in the church and in the world. For every blessing we have received, we join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art. Our first Bible reading is read to us by Anne McFarlane.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Then Jesus went home. Again, such a large crowd gathered that Jesus and his disciples had no time to eat. When his family heard about it, they set out to take charge of him because some people were saying, "He's gone mad." Some teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem were saying, "He has Beelzebul in him. It is the chief of the demons who gives him power to drive them out." So Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a country divides itself into groups that fight each other, that country will fall apart. If a family divides itself into groups which fight each other, that family will fall apart. So if Satan's kingdom divides into groups, it cannot last, but will fall apart and come to an end. No one can break into a strong man's house and take away his belongings unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. I assure you that people can be forgiven all their sins and all the evil things they may say. But whoever says evil things against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, because they have committed an eternal sin. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside the house and sent in a message asking for him. A crowd was sitting round Jesus, and they said to him, "Look, your mother, brothers, and sisters are outside, and they want you." Jesus answered, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" He looked at the people sitting round him and said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does what God wants them to do is my mother, my sister, my brother." Amen.
Margaret Golding will read our second lesson for us.
The second reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. That evening they heard the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid from him among the trees. But the Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid and hid from you because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" God asked. "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" The man answered, "The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" She replied, "The snake tricked me into eating it." Then the Lord God said to the snake, "You will be punished for this. You alone of all the animals must bear this curse. From now on, you will crawl on your belly, and you will have to eat dust as long as you live. I will make you and the woman hate each other. Her offspring and yours will always be enemies. Her offspring will crush your head, and you will bite her offspring's heel." Amen.
We join to sing, "At the dawning of creation, when the world began to be."
Thank you.
They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and the woman hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them and said to them, "Where are you?" The Bible describes our life and human situation in stories. It's a collection of books written by many people about their dealings with the Spirit of God. The creation stories recorded their experience that God was everywhere, woven into the fabric of the world. And they expressed this first by saying that God called the world into being. He made it. It was His Spirit at the beginning that separated out the waters of chaos from the dry land. They also knew that human beings were responsible for the care of the environment. In the creation story, we read that God created human beings, making them to be like Himself. He blessed them and said, "Have many children, so that your descendants will live over all the earth and bring it under their control. I am putting you in charge." It seemed to them also that God was on their side, so that they said that the world which God had made was very good. They saw all their life as an encounter with God. They found Him in every place. "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there also." Our story about the man and the woman hiding from the Lord God among the trees of the garden sets the scene for the whole of the Bible, which is about the breakdown of trust between us and God. It's about falling for temptation, taking something which is attractive but destructive, and the attempt to blame someone else. "It was her fault." "No, it wasn't. It was that snake in the grass." The story leaves us with a sense of loss, but it also completes the biblical picture of the nature of human beings. We are people created with the power of defying our Creator. The message of the Bible is that the life task of human people, you and me, is that we were born to live and struggle with God. That's our birthright. It's not an accident. It's the deliberate purpose of the one who willed our existence. From the moment of our birth, we have an inbuilt desire to know who we truly are. There is a mystery about our identity which plagues us until we can solve it. We begin life as sons or daughters. We may be brother or sister. We may be mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, friends, lovers. We may be members of a family or a community, or we may simply live as individuals. But none of these things explains who we really are, not even the fact that we are a man or a woman. If you ask who you really are, then you can only address that mystery which we refer to so casually as God, and which we find to be amazingly concerned with us personally, and which is the proper focus of our worship. However, because we are free agents, we are willful people, The working out of our relationship with God is a life's work. Giving easy assent to that relationship is not acceptable to God and will not bring us life either. Working out a personal faith should be hard. It should be a costly business. Don't say you believe anything that you don't believe. Cheap friendships are never any good. Friendships need to be based on truth, and so it is between us and God. The Old Testament name for God, Israel, bears record to the cost of faith in God. The first part of the word means people, and the last part means God. But the middle part is a kind of striving together to arrive at a fought-out way of living together. Jacob was given the name when he wrestled with God in the desert and emerged wounded, but as a survivor. Geoffrey Ainger, in a poem, wrote this: "Are we still capable of fear in the presence of God, requiring of us a dangerous obedience that seeks justice and compassion before the saying of our prayers? Do we still take off our shoes?" Thank God for those who have done just that, who've understood that grace is free, but never cheap. Thank God for those who've glimpsed the face of Christ, who comes not altogether as someone unknown, but as a healer of those in need, sharing their necessity and bearing the world's profound anxiety. The stories in the Bible show that it is not easy to live with God's Spirit. Jonah took a ship to get away. Jacob negotiated with God: "Whatever you give me, I'll give you 10%. Many of the Psalms complain to God because wicked people do well and good people do badly. My faith was almost gone when I saw that things go well for the wicked. They say, 'God will not know, the Most High will not find out. They have plenty and are always getting more.'" Psalm 73. "The search for God begins with my search for integrity and my own sense of truth." We see this most clearly in the story of Job, a man of great goodness who was overtaken by a great disaster in which he lost all his possessions and all his family were killed. And his friends said, lying, "Everything happens for a reason. You must have done something wrong. Admit it." But Job, though overwhelmed by undeserved suffering and with God nowhere in sight, said, "Even if God kills me, I will maintain my integrity." The great value of the Bible is its realism about the problems and evil of the world. It tells us stories of men and women who time and time again were defeated and enslaved and then liberated again. People who experienced poverty, hunger, oppression, but still bore witness to the goodness and faithfulness of God at the center of their lives. And that is why our faith is relevant to us and to the undeserved troubling of our troubled world. So the Bible is a textbook about human nature. The writers are witnesses. We will find God and become truly human by maintaining our own integrity and remaining faithful to the light that we see, however faint it may be. the stories, the teaching, the songs in the Bible are a treasury to help us on our way. If we do not use them, we deprive ourselves of a great strength and the tools we need on our journey. The writers of the Bible tell us a secret, which they believe is the key to our happiness. They tell us about this mysterious force which governs all life, the mystery of the Spirit of God alive and active in the world. Whether you accept their witness and live with God's Spirit or deny it depends on what you find when you look into your heart and attend carefully to your own most private experience of yourself. If you find within yourself a hunger which will not in the end be satisfied without a loyalty to something outside yourself, then the words of Jesus will speak to you. Human beings do not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. And the Bible also gives us a picture of the reverse, what it is like to live without God's Spirit. It is like Israel in the desert, without water from the rock, a thirsty and dry land where no water is. I find it a comfort that the biblical writers record many times when they lost contact with God. Because there have been many times when I have said in my heart, there is no God. And when this happens, I'm glad to remember that the same thing happened to many people who were very close to God's Spirit. Even Jesus, at the point when he was dying on the cross, said, my God, why have you forsaken? Our living, all living by human people, must be about relying on the faithfulness and loyalty to us of the God whom we cannot see. We are not able to see God. St. Paul describes our view as seeing through a clouded mirror. So if we follow the leading of the Spirit, we're going to need hope and courage to carry us through. And part of the psalm set for today, which we didn't read, responds to our need for hope and courage and brings to an end what I have to say. I wait eagerly for the Lord's hope, and in his word I trust. I wait for the Lord. More eagerly than watchmen wait for the dawn, than watchmen wait for the door, I wait for the Lord. Israel, trust in the Lord, because his love is constant and he is always willing to save. We keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing, God is love, let heaven adore him. We join to make our prayers for ourselves, for our community, for our friends, and for the world. Let us pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for you are gracious. You have loved us from the beginning of time, and you remember us in times of trouble and of joy. We pray for people everywhere according to their need. We pray for Christians in all parts of the world, for their witness and their unity, for their faithfulness to the mission of Christ, and for all Christians here in this community and in Kingston. Strengthen your church in the service of Christ, that we and all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the nations and peoples of the world, for all who serve the common good, for our own country and government, asking for your blessing on those who have authority in the new government to make important decisions. Give wisdom to all in authority. Direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honor one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for those we know and love, for our families and friends. Give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbors, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us remember all those who suffer, those who are sick, those who mourn, those who are without faith. And those who serve people in need. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we commend all people to your unfailing love, that in them your will may be fulfilled. And we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may share with them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service as we make our offering. God our Father, accept these gifts and with them the symbol of our giving to you in terms of resources and time and everything that we have to offer. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Everyone is welcome at this table to take part in the sharing of the bread and the wine. And for those who are new to us, the wine has no alcohol in it, and the for people who have gluten-free options, there is a gluten-free section in each of the plates as they come round, so we can all share. Our custom is that when you receive the bread, you eat it individually, and when you receive the wine, wait and we'll drink that all together when I give the word. Holy and redeeming God, we see your grace and truth in Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the night in which he was betrayed took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, all of you. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, in remembrance of me. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Father, we remember and celebrate all that Christ has done for us. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Through him we give ourselves to you. May your Spirit draw us together in one body of Christ, that we may have life in all its fullness, live in your love, and fill creation with a song of never-ending praise. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Christ, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ.
The blood of Christ. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. We join to sing, "I come with joy to meet my Lord." The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.